Welcome to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We are located in Winterville, right outside of Athens, Georgia, and are led by our senior pastor, Ed Walden. Our mission is to be a Book of Acts church in this modern world, to build a strong and unified church family, and to see lives saved and changed by the power of Jesus Christ. We hope that in listening today, you will be strengthened, encouraged, blessed, and restored.
In the book of John chapter 9, as Jesus passed by, he saw a man. Jesus saw a man. I'm glad Jesus sees us. He saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, "Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" But Jesus answered, "Neither has this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day." See, Jesus is serious about getting to work on whatever day it is. While it is day, the night cometh when no man can work. Praise God. As long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. And when he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground, made clay of the spittle. He anointed the eyes of the blind man with clay. And he said unto him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which is by interpretation, sent. He went his way therefore and washed and came seeing. A few moments today, I want to preach on this thought, what Jesus sees in me. What Jesus sees in me. Let's pray. As we pray, let's pray for this baptism. Lord God, we thank you today for what you're doing in this service. Thank you for what you've done already. Those that have been filled with the Holy Ghost, those that are about to be baptized and washed in your name, we thank you for it today. Open our ears to hear what the Spirit would say. We give you honor and glory forever in Jesus' name. Everyone said amen. Clap your hands real good to the Lord. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Let's witness this baptism right here, right now. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Bless him right now, God. Hallelujah. Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Buried in the name of Jesus. Buried in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Something happens when you go down in that water in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Something's happening. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There ain't nothing like that feeling when the blood of Jesus washes your sin away. Ain't nothing like it when Jesus washes you. Hallelujah. Praise God. Come on, give the Lord another hand clap and a shout. You won't see nothing greater today than somebody being baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost. Because man, no matter what man can do, they can never recreate this. They can never recreate. Man can't do it. This came all the way from the foundation of the world. This was in the mind of God before he said, "Let there be light." Let me tell you, it was there. Praise God. So, man, when you get the chance, you need to go on and take care of it. Be baptized in Jesus' name. Praise God. I just want to preach about baptism, man. It'd be hard to get back on this message. But see, Jesus saw a man. He saw a man, and he saw a woman. She's about to come into this water. She coming down this water. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. And he sees what's inside of you. You know, he saw a man. What did Jesus see? He saw what was created in God's image. But he said, something's not right about it. I need to get it back to the way it was intended. This man was blind. You know, Jesus sees it all, and that's okay. We try to hide, we try to duck sometimes, but he sees it all. And he saw this precious lady today sitting in this house. She's responded by faith, and now she's about to be baptized in Jesus' name. Her sins are going to be washed away. Everything up to this point, Father's Day will always have a double special meaning for her, because it'll be the day that her Heavenly Father washed her sins away. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Let's watch her today. It's going to happen, sis. This is wonderful. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Jesus' name. Buried in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you for it, Jesus. Woo! Oh, God. Washed whiter than snow. God has washed and cleansed. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. That's it, sis. Let the Spirit speak. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Woo! Come on, sis. That's it. Praise God. Praise it. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. That's it, sis. Go ahead. Come on, stretch your hands and pray for her one more time. God's doing something. Oh, right now, in the name of the Lord Jesus. That's it, all you. Yeah. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, we love you, Lord. We love you, Jesus. Praise God. What a beautiful day. What a beautiful day it is. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hey, you mind just hanging out? All right, because somebody else is coming. I feel it. Somebody else is coming. If they don't, I'm going to come get rebaptized. It's something. They have such a good time, I feel like I'd do it all over again. Praise God. So you be seated. God bless you. What Jesus sees in me. Praise God. And Jesus passed by. He saw a man that was blind from his birth. This man was created in the image of God. The Bible says that Adam was actually the son of God. He sees a son of God. He sees a son of Abraham. This man should be having dominion and fellowship with God. He should be whole. He should be perfect. But Jesus recognizes there's something missing in this man. He sees it all. In the book of Psalm 139, listen what the psalmist said about God's relationship with us. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. How many believes that God loves you? Praise God. He loves you even though he knows you. That's the way you got to look at it. He loves you even though he knows you. You know, so we have a harder time with that than he does. We have a harder time with that because we're like, man, I don't know if I love them, but we got to love everybody. We got to love our neighbor. They having church back there. Jesus passed by and saw a woman. And now she's getting that blessing from him. But the psalmist said, you have searched me and you have known me. You know my down sitting. You know my uprising. You understand my thought far off. You compasseth my path and my lying down, and you are acquainted with all my ways. Uh-oh. He's acquainted with all of your ways. The ways that everybody sees and the ways that people don't see. Hey, He sees it all and he knows it all. But I'm here to tell you today that that's okay. That's okay. He said, there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, you know it altogether. God knows what you think. He knows what you say. He knows what you're going to do. God knows you. He sees everything that there is to see about you, and he loves you anyway, but he loves you too much to leave you in the shape that you're in. In verse number 13 of Psalm 139, the psalmist said, for you have possessed my reins. You have covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from you when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And Jesus saw a man, and he was unperfect. And Jesus sees you, and he knows you're not perfect. He sees every flaw. He sees everything you struggle with. He sees everything you're fighting with. But he has a plan for you. There is nothing hid from God, nothing. Not our perfections, not our imperfections. Not what we get right and not what we get wrong. Jesus sees it all, and that is okay. We would love to be able to run. Oh, just let me hide from the Lord. But in case you're thinking of that, here's what he's saying in verse 7. Where shall I go from thy spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend up into heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in hell, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall your hand lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. Oh, come on, somebody. He's going to do it. You can't run from God. You can't hide from God. You might as well face that fact. And why would you be scared of someone who loved you and gave himself for you? Why try to hide from the one who simply wants to make you better? He wants to make you perfect. He wants to make you whole. He wants to take care of you. And that's what Jesus was thinking when he saw this man. It says, Jesus saw a man, but the man could not see him. Whenever you come to Jesus, go ahead and face it. He's got what you lack. Jesus had sight. This man lacked sight. When you come here today, you met the perfect Savior, and he's got what you need. Wherever you're lacking in your life, in your walk, whatever it is you've got to have to be a whole, Jesus has it for you today. Jesus saw the man, but the man could not see him. Before we know him, he sees us. He sees us born. He sees us conditioned. This man was conditioned to the condition of his birth. He only knew one way of living. He was imperfect by the world's standards. He could not enter into the temple. Most likely he was a beggar, because when people in those days had an infirmity, they would set them by a roadside or in a street by the temple so that they could at least beg for some money to make some form of a meager living. I'm tired of being a beggar. Anybody tired of begging and begging for the scraps when you could have what the king wants you to have today? Hey, come on, somebody. Hallelujah. He might have even been a burden and a bother to some people. And he was bypassed by many. You think about how many people you don't make eye contact with at every red light just about in Athens, because they want something. I'm sure a lot of people walked by him. Oh, he was down there. I didn't see him. He don't know if they're walking by or not, because he can't even see them. But they're passing him by. Maybe they took advantage of him and stole from him because he can't see. Bypassed by many, but not by Jesus. You may have been left behind by others, but you won't be left behind by Jesus. You might get ignored by others, but Jesus will not ignore you. He loves you. He cares about you. Whether you are whole, broken, sick, well, obedient, or not, our lives do not go unnoticed by Jesus. This man knew darkness. He lived in darkness. He walked in darkness. But the Bible says God hath called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. This man was about to hear the voice of light, the voice of the Savior. He was about to hear and get instruction from the one that could make him whole. And what Jesus sees and what Jesus saw then is what Jesus still sees now. He's the same. You see what Jesus said when they said, Master, has this man sinned? Is he just really bad and wicked, or his parents wicked? Is this why he's in such a shape? But Jesus said, this man has not sinned nor his parents. Let me tell you, sometimes bad things happen to good people. Sometimes his parents were probably faithful to the tabernacle, to the temple. They probably went to synagogue every Sabbath, and maybe they taught their son, you know, the law of Moses because he couldn't go in. They were probably really good. Jesus said they ain't sinned. They didn't cause this. How could he cause it? He was born blind. You can't sin before the womb. They're just trying to find a reason. Got to be a reason why they're so messed up. Sometimes it's just life. But he said he was born this way so that the works of God could be made manifest in him. What Jesus saw in him is what Jesus has seen in us, is that I can work with that. Hello? He said, I can work with that. It's not beyond hope. I can do something with it. I'm able to take it. I can mold it. I can shape it. Just give me a chance. I can work with it. I'm thankful today that what Jesus has seen in me is what he has seen in everybody else, and he's able to work with us all. Hello. He can work with us all. Praise God. Could you just lift your hands for a moment and thank him for that? Because Jesus is looking on us today. We used to sing a song, turn that spotlight on my soul. Search me, Lord. Turn the spotlight on my soul. Oh, what Jesus saw is what he sees, because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. There ain't no ifs, ands, or buts about it. You ain't so bad that God can't work with you. God can work with you. And what God can do is not determined by the opinion or judgment of others. He can make all things new. This man was blind, and there he sat. And Jesus saw him, and Jesus said, this man, this imperfect man, this man that people walk past, this man that people don't give the time of day to, the works of God are going to be manifest in him. Jesus saw an opportunity. He can make all things new. Jesus is the opportunity of a lifetime. And you know the old saying, opportunity knocks. Well, opportunity was knocking. He's knocking. Is he knocking on your door today? Opportunity's in this house. I've been saying, hit the water, get to the water, go to the water. It's there. The Holy Ghost is here for you. It's evident. We've seen people feel the Holy Ghost today. Opportunity is knocking in this house today. Will you answer? Will you answer? Are you tired of being looked over and bypassed and wondering, does anybody see me? I'm telling you today, Jesus sees you. And what he sees in you is an opportunity to make things whole, to bring things back to the way it used to be. Jesus saw him and he knew the whole story. He knew the truth. He knows that about us. And again, I tell you, that's okay. We don't want people in the world to know everything about us, and they shouldn't. I'm not saying you try to lead a secret life, but sometimes, you know, people just don't need to know everything. You know, mind your business. They don't need to know everything. But see, that ain't an option with God. He already knows it. He knows your business. He knows your secret business. He knows your messy business. He knows the business you don't want ever to be published. He knows. And guess what? He still says, I can work with that. He looks at drug addicts and goes, I can work with that. Alcoholics, I can work with that. Thieves, I can work with that. Fornicators, I can work with that. Idolaters, I can work with that. Adulterers, I can work with that. Man, you can be so jacked up, messed up, wrapped up in sin and think, there ain't no hope for me. But Jesus walks by and goes, hey, give me that. I can fix it. I can do something with it. I can change it. I can mold it. I can shape it. I can fix it. I can restore it. He's about to show you. There were no eye doctors in his day. But Jesus was about to do something that nobody could do. Well, nobody performing miracle eye surgery in his day. And you want to know something? This is Bible. If you study it, you'll find out that nobody, and it tells us in this story here, nobody ever, all the miracles done in the Old Testament, all the ones Jesus had done up to this point, no man had ever, no prophet, no preacher, no saint, nobody had ever opened blinded eyes. Because it was prophesied in Isaiah that this would be reserved for God alone when he comes to save his people. You can read it in Isaiah. It says at that time, that's when the blinded eye, when your God comes to save you, that's when blinded eyes are open. Woo! The Creator showed up in the flesh and said, I see him and I can do something with it. That's mine anyway. I can work on that. I'm the originator. I got the diagram. I got the blueprints. I know all about it. I know how to work with that. And let me tell you, you can't mess your life up so bad that he can't take it back down to the foundation. He said, behold, I make all things new. I know it's scary to think that he sees it. It's embarrassing. It's shameful. It's humiliating to think that this spotless Lamb of God knows everything about me. Sometimes when I'm riding, thoughts of my past will pop into my head, and I want to curl up in a ball and hide. I'm like, God, I'm so sorry I was ever that person. I know you forgave me. I'm not doubting that. I know you washed me in your blood. I know it's under the blood, but I just need you to know that I am so ashamed of that. I'm so sorry that I was ever that person that would do that or say that or act like that. Why I did it, I don't know. I did. It was my flesh. It was sin. Thank God that you met me one night at an altar of repentance and allowed me to come and be baptized in your name, and you washed that filth off my life. Thank you for that, and you filled me with the Spirit. And I'm going to tell you, you're going to get tired carrying that stuff. You're going to get tired holding on to that stuff. It's time to let it go. It's time to repent of those sins, and it's time to find your way to the water and be baptized in Jesus' name and filled the Holy Ghost. Praise God. If you believe it, clap your hands to the Lord. Even though Jesus knew that this man was blind, he still had a plan for him. And even though he knows everything about you, he still got a plan for you. Not to condemn you, but he wants to fix, heal, save, make you whole. He is not here to destroy you or throw you away. He is here to make things better than it's ever been. Isaiah 1, 18 and 19, the Lord said, come and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. And though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. And if you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. Praise God. What a promise. Who's not willing to let go of the weights and the chains and the mess that hold you down? Who's not tired of just that burden, just that heaviness? The scripture calls it weight and sin that does so easily beset us. And aren't you tired of those filthy rags and filthy garments? Aren't you ready to get the robe of righteousness from the Lord? Aren't you ready? Aren't you ready for God to just cover you with a robe? Get rid of those mud stains from the pig pens of this world that we've been wallowing in, and come and celebrate and eat the celebration feast with the Lord. Oh God, I'm telling you, God is calling for somebody today. You're not here by accident. The Lord is here today. He is knocking. He has come by this place and he has seen you. And what he sees in you is an opportunity. He knows and he sees and he offers a better deal. He offers us a way out. Romans 5 and 8 said, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us while we were sinners, not while we were doing good, not while we were on the road to recovery, but while we were wallowing in filth and sin and shame. He died for us so he could bring us out of that. What Jesus saw when he went to Calvary was you and I being made whole. And we talk about how he saw us in our sin. He already knew about that. But what he saw on Calvary, the scripture said, for joy he endured the cross. There was something on the other side of Calvary that he knew was coming. And he knew that salvation was coming on the other side of Calvary. He knew that Pentecost was coming on the other side of Calvary. He knew that the blood was going to start flowing on the other side of Calvary. He knew that sins would be washed away on the other side of Calvary. And he knew that the nastiest, rankest, meanest, ungodly sinner could be made whole and could be new and filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. Honey, you ain't been so bad that God can't redeem you. He's already paid the top price. We are purchased with the precious blood of Christ. He's already paid the price. He's already redeemed us. Friend, you ought to go today to the water and be baptized in Jesus' name. Oh, clap your hands to the Lord. I'm getting there. I'm almost done. I'm getting there. Oh, but God's reaching today. God's working today. I'm thankful for it. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Can I tell you, your condition does not disqualify you from the deal. Today, we have to qualify for things. Loan companies say, hey, we got a deal for you, but you still got to qualify. Everybody's pre-qualified. Everybody. You ain't got to have a job and you pre-qualified. But then when you send in your information, they go, oh, sorry, at this time we cannot fulfill this because you just don't make enough money. You got too much, you got too much debt you owe. That's us. I just owe too much debt and Jesus can't do nothing with me. You ain't got a debt so big that Jesus, that blood, it paid it. It covers it. It ain't nothing like it. The blood of Jesus covers that debt. And I'm thank God today for it. And I want you to know that your condition does not disqualify you from the deal, but it is simply the reason for the offer. In John chapter 4, you'll read about a woman that had had five husbands and was now living with a man who was not her husband. And Jesus still sat and conversed with her and talked to her about heavenly things and offered her living water because he already knew of who she was. He knew what she had done and he knew what she was doing. But he knew if you'll just take this living water that I offer, you will never come and thirst again. You'll never want the things of the world. It'll take that thirst for the worldly things away from you. Just taste and see that the Lord is good. If we would just taste and see that the Lord is good, come to him like you are. Come to him because he already knows. You can't fix up. You can't dress up nice enough. You can't disguise yourself. Oh, he won't know me if I look. I'll shave and I'll clean. I'll even take a bath. He won't even know who I am. But he said, no, I know you smell better, but I still know you. But to him, the Bible says, though we take to ourselves much soap and niter and wash ourselves, our iniquity is still marked before God. He still sees it. On our best day, at our best state, the scripture says, it's vanity because we're not able to do what God can do. We can't be good enough to be saved. We're not going to be good enough to just slip into heaven. If we come in, we're coming in through the door. Who's the door? Baptized in whose name? Jesus. Holy Ghost comes in whose name? Jesus. Thank you. There is one way to God. Praise God. I'm thankful for it today. Thankful for it today. I got to get on this message. I know everybody's like, hey, come on, Pastor, get going. Praise the Lord. Your condition does not disqualify. Here's what gets us. It's not our condition. It's our conditioning. Conditioning comes when you're subjected to something over and over and over again. And when somebody, most of the time it's yourself, keeps looking in the mirror saying, you're a loser. You're a failure. You're a mess up. God don't love you. You'll never get back. You'll never make it right. You'll never be like everybody else. You just constantly keep telling yourself that and telling yourself that. And now you are conditioned to just believe that nothing can be done. It's not your condition. It's your conditioning. But it's time to stop listening to those negative voices. And it's time to start listening to the voice that can restore your sight. Quit listening to the people that say, must be because they're a sinner. We're all sinners. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. The Bible said God has concluded us all in unbelief so he could have mercy on us all. You know, that's one thing. I'll take that because I don't want to set myself up in a place where I can't be a partaker of the mercy of God. So if he has to conclude me in unbelief, fine. Because I want the mercy. I wanted the mercy of God in my life. And so lay aside that weight. Lay aside that sin. Lay aside that conditioning and run this race with patience. Stop listening to negative voices that are in just as bad a shape as you are. You know, all them people that was going, hey, did he sin? Jesus could very easily turn around and looked at them and said, did you? They brought a woman to him and said, the law said, stone her. He said, you without sin, do it. But no rocks thrown that day. So don't listen to people. You know what? When them negative boys start telling you, hey, you'll never be, you'll never, just tell them, you know what? I will be whole. I will be better. And I'm going to pray for you that you'll be better. Now, that might set them off, but they can't stop you from praying for them. You pray for them. Listen, stop listening to that stuff. Stop letting it condition you to how you walk and how you believe and how you act. In verse 6 of this chapter, it says that when he had thus spoken, when Jesus, he had told him, he said, I got to work the works of him that sent me. While it's day, the night comes, no man can work. As long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. When he spoke this, he spat on the ground and he made clay. I was thinking of this, where did God create man from? The dust of the ground. He said, I'm going to take it back down to the foundation. I'm going to get something from the beginning. In the beginning was God. Oh, I'm thankful for him. And he went back, you know, and the scripture says in those days that a mist went up and watered the ground. Now, when he made us from the dust of the earth, you think he didn't have a little bit of water to help with that? You ever tried to put dust together? It just fall apart. Pour a little water in it, and you'll make clay. You ever seen a bag of clay before water? It's just dust. But you add a little water to it, and you can start making something out of it. I told people, I said, always been water involved in it. That's too much of a lesson to go into, but. He said, I'm going back to something. I'm going to get something from the foundation. And he spat on it and he made clay. You know why he likes to work with clay? Because he's the potter. And he takes that original material that man was made from and puts it in the place where the man is lacking. And he says, now go and wash. Always been a washing involved in this. And he said, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is sent. Jesus laid a path out for him. He was still blind. He was still blind, but Jesus still had a plan for him. He was still blind, but he gave him the word that would lead him to wholeness. That's what's happening in here today. In our lack, God has spoke a word to lead us because he said, I'm not going to wait till you. Those that are whole don't need a physician, but they that are sick. And so he said, I'm not waiting on you to get better before I tell you how to get better. He said, while you are lacking, while you are needing. And if we can't admit that we need, if we can't admit that we lack, oh, we got some more issues. But when we know that there's something going on, that man knew he was blind. He said as much. He said, one thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see. And when God gets through working in your life, you're going to know it. And everybody else is going to know it. Whether they like it or not, they can't dispute it. He was born blind, and now he sees, and the only answer he had was Jesus. Hey, how'd you get your sight? This man, Jesus. They tried to get him to say anything else, but he said, what do you want me to tell you? If I tell you again, are you going to start following him? Ooh, they got hot. They didn't like that. And you know what they did? They said, hey, you were altogether born in sin. And there he sits with his eyesight, a miracle in his life, and they want to drag his past up. People won't always celebrate your miracle. And they'll try real hard to remind you of your past. But you just have to stand up and make a declaration like this guy did. He said, okay, let's just, I'll sum it up for you. Here's what I know. I don't know if he was a sinner, because they were calling Jesus a sinner. He said, I don't know if he's a sinner or not. I never seen him before. All I know was I heard a voice. I felt something on my eyes. It said, go here. I went and I came back seeing. One thing I know, I was blind. That's a fact. And now I see, and that's a fact. And this fact is greater than the last one. And I'm thankful today that God is still working miracles in people's lives. He is passing by. What does he see in me? What does Jesus see in me? Am I locking the door and bolting the door? Am I trying to hide? Am I ready? You know, this guy could have said, man, what in the world? If you were blind and somebody just come up and started slapping stuff on your eyes, maybe he heard Jesus right before he got to me. Did he just spit? Oh, wait, hey, what is that? What's that on my eyes? We'd be like, hey, whoa, 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 whoa. But he said, you know what? I'm so tired of where I've been. I'm so tired of not seeing and not being seen that finally someone has come by and spoke a word of hope to me, spoke a word of life to me. And it might be nuts, but I'm fixing to go wash. Because, hey, if I wash and I'm still blind, what does it hurt? Oh, but if something happens, then I'm going to celebrate. I'm going to rejoice. And I'm going to tell you something today, that when you finally say, you know what? Enough is enough. Enough is enough. I'm tired of living around the fringes. I'm tired of living beneath my privilege. I'm tired of living beneath what God's got for me. He sees me. I know he does. And he can work with me. Because I'm ready to be worked with. I'm ready for him to work on me, in me, through me, whatever. But I'm tired of where I'm at. And so, Lord, what does it take? Well, the first steps are going to always involve washing. It was right here, right here. And I'll tell you again today, I'm not just pulling this out of the air. Salvation for the New Testament church is only found in the book of Acts. That's where it's initiated. You'll never find anybody saved any other way prior to that. The baptism of John was unto repentance. And I know that Jesus could forgive sins, and he did forgive sins in people's life. But he also went into the prisons in the middle of the earth, and he preached to them during those 3 days while he was laying in that tomb. He was preaching to those souls that were lost. But what I'm telling you is that when the New Testament church, when the birth of the church started, you never hear anybody being added to the church until the book of Acts chapter 2. And God added daily to the church such as should be saved. What was happening? They were repenting of their sins, being baptized in Jesus' name, and being filled with the Holy Ghost. The gospel of Jesus Christ is it. That's the eye opener. That's the foundation. The Lamb of God was slain from the foundation of the world. It's got to involve him. He died. He shed his blood. He rose from the dead so you and I could have everlasting life. How is the gospel has got to be believed, but it's also got to be obeyed. How do I obey the death, burial, and resurrection? Repentance is death. Repentance is when I say I'm going to die out to that old crazy life, and I'm going to do my best to walk daily following him. Paul said it's a struggle, so I die daily. It happens. You need to pray that prayer every day. Lord, forgive me. Forgive me. Forgive me. Praise God. We need him every day. Repentance is death. Burial. Paul said it in Romans chapter 6, for we are buried with him in baptism. Friend, we've got to be buried in baptism. What do you do with dead things? You bury it. So once we repent, then we come to the water and we are buried in the only saving name that there's ever been given. We preached that last week, and we had another precious lady was baptized in Jesus' name. Praise God. I see you, sis. Praise the Lord. So thankful for Sister Maria. Praise the Lord. Thankful for that. And then we are raised up, it says, to walk in the newness of life, or we are filled with the Holy Ghost. That's the resurrection. That's that new life. So we need to be born of water and born of the Spirit. That's what we have to do. That's the gospel. That'll change you. God can work with you. God sees you, and I know what he sees in you. He sees an opportunity for greatness in your life. He sees an opportunity for victory because he says, I know the thoughts I think toward you. He doesn't just think those thoughts when you're right. He was thinking those thoughts before you ever got right. If God knows your beginning and your end, he knows everything in the middle. And he was already thinking those thoughts. You know, when I was so messed up in a bar or passed out behind a bar, didn't even know what his name was. And he said, you know, I think he'll make a pretty good pastor one day. Excuse me while I pass out again, Lord. He said, you know, that old mean boy, I think he'll be a good preacher one day. I wouldn't think that would never, I promise you, this was never on my radar. I figured I'd have ended up out in California somewhere leading some garage metal band and dead at about 26 on the cover of National Enquirer. Oh, no. The Lord said, hey, buddy, I got time. I got 2 minutes to testify. The night I came to God, the night before, I was ready to run. I'm leaving. I ain't doing it no more. I ain't going to be a hypocrite. You know, I'm going to go out on Friday, Saturday, and keep drinking and doing it. So I'm not going to be a hypocrite. So I'm just not going back to church. And the person I was talking with, they said, but it's good to go to church and it's good to serve the Lord. I said, I know it's good. I just can't do it. That's it. That was Tuesday night, Wednesday afternoon. They called me and said, you going to church tonight? I said, if it'll make you get off my back, I will. So I got ready. I was getting dressed. I reached down, picked up my big old gold loop earring. I was fixing to stick it in there. I said, I think I'll leave this off tonight. Just don't feel like fooling with it. Got in that church service. From the time they said, praise the Lord, everybody, that place exploded, kind of like it did today. And man, there were people running, shouting, falling out on the floor, people praying. It was church. It was Pentecost. I was sitting back there holding on to a pew, doubled up. I was like, something's happening, something's going on. I knew it. I could tell something was going on. And while they were doing all this, the Lord, he spoke to Sister Rebecca Crider, and they stopped the music. She said, the Lord just gave me this scripture for somebody. Now, I don't know scripture. I don't know Bible. I could quote maybe a little bit of John 3:16. Maybe that was about it. I was sitting there and everybody's listening because it got quiet. And she said, James 4:17 says that if a man knows to do good but does it not, to him it's sin. And it was like somebody just struck me with lightning. And I said, there's no way I just heard that. And Sister Everhart said, say it one more time. She said, James 4:17, she said, the Lord wants somebody to hear this tonight. that if a man knows to do good but does it not, to him it's sin. And I couldn't hear anything else, and I could hear this little voice, like it just slipped up right beside me and said, I heard what you said last night. What I said was, I know it's good, I can't do it. He said, I heard you last night. That's my answer. What are you going to do? All the sound came back. I could hear everybody else. I was crying so hard I thought I was going to die. I couldn't catch my breath. I was sobbing. I was crying because all I could think of was that out of all the world, the Lord looked right down on that driveway where I was talking. He was listening to me. Me. Probably with alcohol on my breath, listening to me talk about, I can't do it. I'm sitting there telling him I'm not coming back, and he said, oh, I can work with that. I'm telling you, I know something about it. I know what it's like to run. I know what it's like when you're on that fence post making that decision, should I jump back to the world or should I keep going? Keep going. God's talking to you today. The Lord's talking to you today. I know it already. I know it. I wasn't just playing around with Brother Dusty when I told him to hang out. I still feel like somebody's on really wrestling right now, but I want you to know that God sees in you a miracle. God sees in you a saint. God sees in you part of the church, part of the body, part of the bride. God sees something great inside of you. And today, it doesn't have to just be a dream. It can be a reality. Today, your sins can be washed away. So I'm telling you today, let's stand with me today. I'm going to go ahead and wrap this thing up because I know that everybody's like, wow, will he ever quit? But I got to quit. I know I got to quit. Listen, in 2 Chronicles 16 and 9, it says, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth. He's always looking. He's always on the look for somebody. He wants to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect towards him. Oh, Pastor, that can't be me because my heart's not perfect towards him. Let me ask you this. When does it get perfect? The Bible says that God does not hear the prayer of sinners. But if any man be a worshiper, well, when does he turn to a worshiper? In an instant, when it changes inside him. And a perfect heart doesn't mean it's without flaw. Oh, a perfect heart is one that says, I need him. And that was me that night. The eyes of the Lord were going to and fro. He said, I want to do something. Show yourself strong on behalf. So I want to do something that they can't do for themselves. So he got down and had a scripture ready for me. It just slapped my argument in the face. I know it's good. I can't do it. Well, if you know to do good, do it not, then it's sin. I'd never read that scripture. I'd never read the book of James. I didn't even have a Bible at that point. But when that word spoke to me, I could feel it go into my being. I said, something's happening here. Friend, let me tell you, I ran to that altar and I fell down on my knees and I began to pray and the power of God fell on me. I didn't know what to pray. I didn't know how to pray. So, I didn't really know how to pray before I go to the altar. Let me tell you, it was amateur hour. I got to the altar. I didn't know what to say, who to say it to. I was just saying, God, forgive me. God, have mercy on me. And I could hear this voice way back going, like somebody was shouting from a long ways away going, don't do it. You'll have to tell it all. Don't go. I said, I don't care if I got to tell it all to everybody. I'm not getting off this altar. And that voice disappeared. And then all I could hear was Sister Eberhardt going, "That ain't you, hon. That's the Lord." Yep. That was her. She saw the Lord fall on you. She said, "That ain't you. That's the Lord." And I was trembling and shaking. I jumped up and I grabbed my pastor. I said, "I ought to get baptized." And he said, "When?" I said, "Right now." I said, "The Lord might come back tonight." He said, "The water's cold. It was January the 13th. We didn't have a heater in the baptistry. Water was Titanic cold. I didn't care. I went down in that water. We didn't have robes and stuff back then. We had several pairs of old blue jeans that hung back there in the baptistry room. You could change into if you wanted to. It was all would come up to about right here on me because it was too short. I didn't care. I put a pair of them on, went down in that water, was baptized in Jesus' name. I come out and I said, "It's what I've been looking for. It's what I wanted. Oh, I wanted this off me. I've tried to get it off me. I've tried to quit. I've tried to stop. I've tried to be better and it didn't work. This worked. I'm telling you that God will wash your sin away. And God will fill you with His Spirit. God can work with who you are. God sees it in you. He knows it's there. He created you. You're fearfully and wonderfully made, so He knows what He can do with you if you're willing and obedient." So today I want to just give an old-fashioned call to the altar. Altars were where they would lay the sacrifice. If you need to repent, then just come and repent. It's not hard. "God, I'm sorry for the way I've lived. Would you forgive me? I'm going to try my best to never live that way again." He knows we're going to slip and slide. Don't think that repentance is going to make you perfect, but it's going to take part. It's part of the process. So you come and you repent. And if you need to be baptized in Jesus' name, I'm telling you, I'm making that plea again. Don't leave this house without being buried in that name. Don't leave this house without going down in that water. We've got towels, we've got robes, there's no excuses, no reason. "Well, I'd like for so-and-so to be here." Well, you know what? As soon as you're done, call them and tell them about it. We'll take a picture and you can send it to them. But this is between you and the Lord. So today, now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. So as they begin, as they're playing and the music is playing, I'm going to open the altar up. All that wood, saints, if you just want to come and pray and thank God, maybe refresh that anointing in your life, whatever, just let's come and pray.
Thank you for listening to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We pray that you have been encouraged and changed by what you heard today. To keep up with RAC, you can follow us on Facebook and Instagram. You can also visit our website at restorationapostolic.org. Be blessed in Jesus' name.